This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Wednesday's House Oversight Committee hearing on the Flint water crisis certainly brought the thunder from angry panel members.
This is the United States of America. This isn't supposed to happen here. We're not some third world country where you get 100,000 people who get poisoned for long periods of time.
And the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality and the EPA pointing fingers of blame at each other. Detroit News business columnist Daniel House is with us now. And Daniel, as you note in today's column in the news, the outrage cuts across party lines, and well, it should.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I think everybody here, Republican and Democrat on that committee, came to the same conclusion, and that is that ultimately the decision here was made by emergency managers who work for the governor of Michigan. And that the DEQ in the state did not require Flint to add corrosion control to the water coming out of the Flint River, period. You didn't see Republicans on this committee jumping to the defense of Governor Snyder, of the state of Michigan in any way, shape, or form. You did see them kind of disproportionately criticize the EPA, but even the Democrats were critical of the EPA. I think there's a lot of blame to go around here, but the central actors and the central decisions, I think everybody pretty much knows what happened here.
It's something interesting that you pointed out in your column, and I've seen elsewhere, you saw Representative Justin Amash slamming the emergency manager law. There's been so much discussion about the EM law, and I'm wondering your thoughts. Do you think the criticism should be about the law or the individuals who were Flint's emergency managers through this water disaster, or both?
Well, I think that's you're asking a very good question. In fact, one I was thinking about yesterday as I was writing this column. Is it the law or is it the people that made the decisions? I think ultimately in this case, it's probably more the people that made the decisions who really made bad ones. But nevertheless, we are in an election year. I think you see the politicization of this whole thing was, I think, laid very open yesterday, not only at the committee hearing, but near the end of the day. You had Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders announce that they were going to have a DNC-sanctioned debate in Flint 2 days before the Michigan primary on March 6th. I mean, you saw Dan Kildee, who represents Flint, trying to look very gubernatorial and sound very gubernatorial in talking to the committee. You had Candace Miller, a Republican from Southeast Michigan, who's going to be retiring, who puts forth a $1 billion bill for Flint. This is a fairly conservative Republican, not known for being a big spender, but certainly being mentioned as a possible candidate for governor in 2018.
And of these individuals, you know, would say, we want to put politics aside and do what we can to keep the spotlight on Flint and keep the help coming.
It's very difficult to put politics aside in a context like this. And I know that you can overplay the hand and say that this is all about politics, and I don't think it necessarily is. I think the Snyder administration, by the evidence, has clearly acknowledged that they've made a mistake here and that they own it and is moving to fix it and is taking a lot of incoming fire, political incoming fire, even as they're just trying to do their job. But it's clearly becoming a political issue, which, frankly, doesn't help the people of Flint one iota.
Governor Snyder, as we know, has made it such a priority to make this a business-friendly state. So, Daniel, for business leaders who are perhaps considering setting up shop in Michigan and bringing their tax dollars and bringing jobs, what does all of this, the hearing and the coverage of the Flint water debacle, what does that say to them about our state and about our governor and his team?
I don't think it says a lot of the good things, frankly. And I think one of the real concerns that people should have here, just average citizens, is the impact of this Flint water crisis on what was a real improving narrative about Michigan and particularly about Detroit. The Detroit bankruptcy defied a lot of predictions in terms of how it was resolved and how quickly it was resolved. And at the same time, you've had billions, literally billions of private sector investment in the city of Detroit, a lot of it by Dan Gilbert, but not all of it by Dan Gilbert. Now the question becomes to what extent this throws that narrative out the window and gets things off track again. Remember, we live in a very open 24/7 news cycle. These things don't take days and weeks and months to get to would-be investors. They take nanoseconds, and mm-hmm. people will know about this, and they'll say, you know what, we're not going to go there. We're not interested in playing in that game. So I think that's a real problem. And then add on top of it some of the problems we're seeing with Detroit public schools. I think the narrative is much more complicated than it was even a year ago.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel House. Thanks so much, Daniel.
Thank you.